There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
It's such a busy month for health. Everything from breast cancer, arthritis, autism, to bullying prevention and so much more. But today is, of course, World Mental Health Day, and something that we don't often think of when we think of mental health is first aid. While courses on mental health first aid are growing in places like Australia, it is still something that is new to the Middle East and is being launched in the region for the very first time. To tell us more, I'd like to welcome Dr. Saniha Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia. Welcome back.
I am so happy to be back.
Great to see you. And also with us is Briar Jacques, counseling psychologist and the head of the Mental Health First Aid Program at Lighthouse Arabia. Great to welcome you into the show for the first time.
Thanks, Sally.
Great. Now, let's start with this, because for us here in the Middle East, it's something that I don't think we've ever really heard of, mental health first aid. We all know the physical first aid. But what is it, and where did it start?
Right. Well, the program started in, the first program was run in 2001 in Canberra, in Australia. And it came out of a mental national health survey in 1997, where they identified a need for an intervention for lay people to be able to do similar to your physical CPR training. So the idea is to raise mental health literacy in the community, to catch some of these mental health issues, which are highly treatable, at a very early stage, so that it takes a lot less resources and time to bring a person back to living their life fully. So that happened in 2001, and their expectations were interesting. They thought maybe they'd run a couple a year, and it just took off. And it's gone to 22 countries now, and as of this year, 2 million people worldwide have been trained.
2 million, that's an incredible number. But, you know, why do we need first aid for mental health?
The idea for mental health first aid is that we want to catch these symptoms early enough so they don't spiral into a full-blown disorder. So the things that that you get trained on in identifying are depression, anxiety, trauma, psychosis, substance use issues, a lot of the issues that we see here in Dubai. And you don't just go from one day waking up to being healthy to having a full-blown depressive, you know, episode. There is those difficulties or disorders actually progress slowly and sometimes fast, but and then they move into more clinical issues. So what we want to do with the mental health first aid at the Lighthouse is to train people, just normal people, the lay person, whether they're in corporate environments or whether they're friends, or just as long as another adult, you could benefit from having these skills to identify these symptoms of these different disorders and engage with that person early enough and then identify the treatment before they get worse. And so the cost of that on the person's life, on their social life, on their relational life, financial life, is a lot lower when you catch them early than if you were to catch them a lot later.
It sounds all great, but to me, it sounds almost overwhelming that, you know, a person can be trained in something like that without having to be a doctor, a psychologist, or a counselor. I mean, you know, there is a difference here. You're not training people to become counselors or psychologists or to diagnose people. Tell us about the difference of what you're actually teaching people here.
Well, I'll say something really quick, and then I'll let Briar go into it a lot more. But I think it's extremely important for people to know that this is just like a physical first aid. You are a first responder. You are seeing these symptoms in another person. You are naming those symptoms. Oh, you look like you look a lot more tired. I've seen that you've had a change in your concentration levels, or you're sleeping a lot more, you're eating a lot less, or whatever. You're naming these symptoms, and you're saying, why don't we get help? And why don't we identify these people? And this is what we help people do. There's a whole system that you use and Briar can tell you more about that, which allows people to engage the person or teaches people to engage the other person in having these kinds of conversations. But you are just a first responder, just like you are not a doctor if you're performing CPR on a person. You are not a therapist or a counselor if you're performing mental health first aid. You are just part of that process of getting the person the right help, a very important and very critical part of that process.
Yeah, the focus is definitely on just equipping the people with the confidence to, just like you would identify an emerging crisis physically, to know, okay, I can follow these steps and you can intervene and be part of that trajectory, which, as Dr. Salahar just said, is a really vital step, because so many people with mental illness are suffering in silence. They're ashamed of it. They're embarrassed by it. It's stigmatized. They keep it to themselves because no one can see it. You know, we wouldn't ignore someone walking around with a busted ligament in their knee because we'd all see it. And they wouldn't have any shame about saying, well, it hurts and I really should go to a professional and get this seen to. But somebody with emerging depressive issues, emerging anxiety issues, will often just try to bury that. It will hurt just as much. It'll affect their functionality just as much, but no one can see it. What we're trying to intervene in with is who can see it. And that's that awareness, and it's that community coming together with a high mental health literacy, which keeps a whole community safer.
Exactly. And it's not just, you know, in terms of the person who is suffering in silence, but it's often the people who can see that they don't know how to approach it. And they're not sure. You're not sure if what you're seeing is something to be concerned about, or if it's something, maybe somebody's just going through a phase. Yes. Maybe it's not something. Mm. So, you know, it's about, like you said, about giving people that confidence to be able to spot those early signs that, yes, something could really be wrong.
You know, Sally, a lot of this was inspired, you know, the services that we offer at the Lighthouse are very much driven by what the community needs. And I can't tell you how many times I've just gotten personal phone calls from friends or people that I've just met at a party one time, and they've said, you know, I think my friend is really struggling. I just don't know how to deal with this. Or what should I tell her? Or how should I tell her to go get help? Or they actually feel quite nervous because, quote, they don't want to make things worse, or they don't want to put ideas in this person's head, or, you know. So I think it's very important that what this program does, it actually gives you the confidence, and it actually maps it out very clearly. And, you know, when we did this training at the Lighthouse, when we flew the Mental Health First Aid Australia to the Lighthouse and had them train our instructors, or us as instructors, it was actually something. I'm a therapist and I know how to talk to people about mental health or difficulties or depression or anxiety, but I actually felt so safe and contained in being given this formula, which then I knew, okay, if I just do these five steps, I'm going to know how to approach this situation. So I think if I could feel that safe, I think a normal, just an average person who's not a mental health professional would absolutely feel a lot safer and a lot more confident in approaching people who are struggling with these issues.
We're looking at the launch of the first mental health first aid training course here in the UAE, in the Middle East, with Dr. Saleha Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia. Plus, we've got here Briar Jacques, counseling psychologist and the head of the mental health first aid program. We're going to talk more about that in just a minute. But if you've got any questions to do with mental health, signs that you're seeing in the people around you, they can help you with that as well. And if you want to know more about the first aid course for mental health, that information will be on our Dubai Today webpage. More coming up on Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. Talking to Dr. Saleha Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia, and Briar Jacques, counseling psychologist and head of the mental health first aid program there. And we started off talking about why we need a mental health first aid kit here in the UAE. And what are the other reasons that we do need that?
Just given the fact that we see so many of these difficult, issues, mental health issues in Dubai, That's a fact. I mean, it's quite a high stress environment. People are away from their social networks. And so they are going to, you know, it's a very transitory place. They feel quite isolated in itself. And so they can just, that environment can actually exacerbate symptoms of depression and anxiety. So that's just one. And we just see a lot of that day in and day out at the Lighthouse. But another reason why we needed this mental health first aid, as Briar was saying earlier, is that it actually equips people in your social world to be able to address some of these things and get you the right help. And in the UAE, we don't have those systems, the infrastructure yet. You know, we don't have the crisis hotlines or the inpatient units or, you know, a lot of either even private practitioners or public health when it comes to mental health. And so people don't have access to these kinds of things. And we end up having to be the social worker and the mental health worker as clinicians. And so I think having people that are trained in mental health first aid will just get people to respond faster and get them to the right help a lot faster. And that's what our goal is. And I think another thing is that in the Middle East, in the East, we have a stigma. Actually, we have a stigma worldwide still, but here in this part of the world, there's still quite a high level of stigma associated with mental health. And our hope is that with the increase, and that's what research found, that with the increase of the mental health literacy and when people went through the mental health first aid course, they actually learned a lot about the causes and the effects, etc., of mental of depression, anxiety, etc. And so it actually destigmatized a lot of these disorders, and people found out that it could be, you know, one of us, it could be one of our family members that's struggling, but they're actually just not talking about it.
I believe there's a study that's been done by the Dubai Health Authority, Briar. What did we find in those studies, in those statistics?
Okay, well, that was done last year in 2016. It's the only mental health survey done in Dubai to date, done very well and thoroughly by the DHA. Doctors, I believe, at Al Jalilah Hospital. And the main thing that they found that was difficult about running that study was getting people to talk about what was going on for them. So again, that speaks to the stigma. And you've got a problem because we've got World Health Organization statistics that show that depression is on the rise, anxiety is on the rise, right? And we've got a problem if we've got less and less people wanting to talk about that as they start to experience it. So a big part of mental health first aid training is getting a level of comfort and ease, just as you would with physical issues, with what's going on for you mentally and emotionally. And so that DHA study really showed that. And it put male depression in Dubai at about 16%, which is very high.
Which is probably underreported.
Probably. And it put adult female depression at about 7-8%.
Mm. Which is definitely underreported, because we know that depression shows up a lot more in women than it does in men.
Yeah.
And so I definitely think these numbers would be underreported.
So in this particular mental health first aid program, you take people through 5 steps. Tell us about those 5 steps, Briar. Okay.
So the course covers several different areas that people can potentially struggle in and show symptomology in. So that's depression, anxiety, eating disorders, things like psychosis or more crisis type events, substance use, that type of thing. So within each of those areas, we train people to apply a 5-step process. So they've got a format with which, like Dr. Salaha was saying, with which they can feel confident, and it can help ease some of their own discomfort with talking about this stuff, some of their own stigmatized trainings they've had in their life. So the steps are algae. So we think of like this, they have in Australia, they have a little koala bear, they call him algae. We just dressed one up in the Kandura for him to go back to Australia, because they have a big cabinet with all the countries with the algae dressed up. It's very cute.
Brilliant.
So A is for ask, approach, assess, look for risk, look for something that might need immediate help from a professional. L is learn to listen and communicate non-judgmentally. So that's very important, because you can shut someone down right from the start if they sense judgment or you kind of pique that stigma that they might be holding about this. G is give support very important, give support first, and then appropriate information. So a big part of the course is giving people the correct information to pass on to others. So you're not, there are a lot of myths and misconceptions, and people might believe certain things about depression or anxiety. For example, with depression, people think that it's always presenting as someone being sad. But actually what we know is that in men especially, it often presents as irritability and anger. And sadness isn't that observable.
We're going through the five steps that you need to go through in order to go through the mental health first aid training. We are speaking to Dr. Saliha Afridi and Briar Jacques from the Lighthouse Arabia, who are just launching this now. We're going to get to more of those steps in just a moment. But questions already coming in on the Dubai Eye app. This one from Shahana saying, if you strongly suspect someone in your family is depressed, but they won't talk to you, what can you do? We're going to answer that question. We'll have more of Dubai Today. I want to come back to you, Briar. We started off by talking about the five steps that are taught to the mental health first aiders. Just run us through quickly the ones that we've already covered and the rest.
For sure. So we've covered the LG steps. We've covered the A, assess and assist, look for crisis. L, listen and communicate non-judgmentally. G, give support and appropriate information. And then we move on to E, which is encourage professional help. So just like you would identify somebody with chest pains, apply CPR ability or intervention to that, and your immediate thought next would be, how do I get the professional help that this person needs? That's exactly what we're talking about here with mental health first aid. And then the final E, because it has a double E on the end, is encourage other supports. What family members of this person can you reach out to? What self-help supports can you recommend to this person? So if you're stepping through the five LG steps, you can rest assured, and it's been very well researched and created over and tried for 17 years with a lot of success, that you're resting on something very substantial and that you can trust. It gives you a format that you can have confidence in.
We're going to talk more about what else the first aiders will be learning. But I want to come back to Shahana's question, which speaks to what you were just talking about support. If you strongly suspect someone in your family is depressed, but they won't talk to you, what can you do?
You know, I will take that question. And I think it's really, when you first asked me that question, I think the first thought that comes to my mind is, well, why isn't this person speaking? And there could be many reasons. Some of them, they don't know that they're depressed. That could actually be the case. A lot of people don't know. I can't tell you how many men and women I have met, even a therapist actually, who came and sat and in front of me, and she named all the symptoms, but the idea of this is a depression, it did not come to her. So sometimes we think we are above it or beyond it, and so that's not the case. Another reason could be that they actually could be something that this, you know, we could be doing in the environment that shuts the person down. And that could be coming from a really positive place, quote, positive. We the person comes home, they say, I had a really bad day and I'm feeling quite low. And we immediately move into, well, come on, you have so much to be grateful for. Look at life, think, count your blessings. And immediately that shuts the person down. And so that's when Briar is talking about listening non-judgmentally and opening up a space where you actually are asking questions like, well, what's going on with you? And tell me about this. And being a lot more curious rather than coming up with advice or solutions too quickly. Those would probably be the two things I would be thinking about. And we can only have these conversations and we can only open up the space. Even when a person calls in and says, I want to come see you, and they sit in front of us and we're therapists, sometimes it takes us many hours before that person can actually start talking about things that are actually hurting them or that are hurting in them. And so this is just an ongoing process until they feel safe enough for them to be able to talk about some of the things that are quite difficult.
It doesn't always take one conversation, no. Does it, Briar?
No, definitely not.
It actually never just takes one conversation.
No. The first aid response is usually a series of responses. Mm. It's a little, that's where it is a little different to physical first aid.
It takes time.
It may take a little bit of time. You're dealing with somebody's psyche. You're dealing with somebody's hesitance, maybe their shame or embarrassment about what they're going through. And so sometimes that requires you to make that first response a few times so that they can start to feel safe enough then to really engage with you, and that's when you can often get them to the professional help. Now, this is obviously not the case in a crisis. In a crisis, through the mental health first aid, you're trained to go in there quite forcefully because you have to. You don't want to protect anyone's feelings when somebody's safety is at risk. So thinking about it in terms of a step-by-step intervention that might happen over a couple of weeks rather than today, I think is helpful to keep you trying, to keep you open.
We've got a great text that's come in from John saying, my wife had postnatal depression after she had our first child. It was only 6 months later, when she had come through this depression, that she realized that she had been depressed rather than just tired and coping with a newborn. She was like a different person when she came through this, but she did come through it all by herself. He says, scary stuff.
Very. You know, what we know about depression is what we call a relapsing and remitting condition. So if left alone, depression will remit. It will lift. Okay. However, the question here is at what cost? Time's ticking by. You know, we wait without treatment. Life's still happening. Relationships are still happening. Parenting's still happening. Decisions are still being made. And it's a large cost to a person's life. To their sense of vitality. And so it's so often the case that in retrospect we realize maybe there was a clinical depression around, and especially with issues around postnatal depression, there's often a fight within a person because they're meant to be thrilled, you know, aren't we? In inverted commas, we're meant to be just overjoyed because you've got this,
you've just had a
new
baby
life. Yeah. But however, we know that it's a particularly vulnerable time in a woman's life, mentally and emotionally, because it's one of massive change. It doesn't get any bigger than that change.
Could be prenatal depression as well when you're pregnant as well. I have a friend who goes through that when every time she's pregnant, the baby comes out and she's completely fine. So it can be at any stage of life, can it
and
not?
And I will actually speak on the behalf of the fathers too.
Yeah.
Fathers can actually go through a period of depression when the baby is born, and, you know, a period of neglect, and it's quite stressful for them. So I work a lot with men, and so I see the other side of that, where we have a name for postnatal depression and we have a name for prenatal depression, but we don't have any name for that when it comes to men. And so it's quite a difficult period for the whole family, actually, very stressful period for the whole family.
For sure. It's about adjustment and healthy adjustment and what helps that. And we look at it in terms of the whole perinatal period that covers preconception to post-delivery. And it, yeah, definitely involves the whole family, the siblings as well.
And the mental health first aid training course does, of course, look at adults, but it also looks at teens. And that is something that I want to ask you about in just a minute. We are talking to Briar Jacques, counseling psychologist and the head of the mental health first aid program, as well as Dr. Sadeh Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia, all about mental health today. You're listening to Dubai Today with me, Sally Musa, on Dubai Eye 103.8. We're talking the very first mental health first aid training course coming to the Middle East, to Lighthouse Arabia, and we've got with us Dr. Sadeh Afridi, clinical psychologist and managing director at Lighthouse Arabia, as well as Briar Jacques, counselling psychologist and the head of the mental health first aid training program. And we went through the five steps, the algae steps. Well, what else can people learn when they take the course?
Okay, so the course is done over 12 hours. That can be experienced over 2 full days or 4 sessions of 3 hours each. However, it works for the different locations we go and present the course in, or we have them into the clinic, or we go on site to corporations, etc. During that 12 hours, it's not just sitting and being lectured to. So it's what we really loved about the course is it's incredibly interactive. So what we're trying to do is instill confidence, create confidence and skill in the mental health first aiders. And so the course is very much focused on role plays, activities, things that are going to help people to really integrate this knowledge and to have practice at it so that it's not just a conceptual set of ideas that then don't roll out into their lives. So it's very active, it's fun, it's there's lots of supporting materials. They get a manual, which is like quite a thick book for future reference, so they don't have to remember anything per se. The main important part of it is they have the experience of becoming a first aider, and then they go forth and feel confident enough to do that. And we do everything we can within that course that's well designed to support that process.
And the issues that they will be learning about are depression, anxiety, trauma, psychosis, substance use disorders, as well as panic attacks, self-harm, acute psychotic episodes, and reactions to traumatic events.
Yeah. Okay, so it's quite comprehensive.
Yes.
You're looking at all of these things, and there is a lot of evidence out there to show that these mental health first aid courses do in fact work, don't they?
For sure. I mean, this is the, as far as we know, it's the only course in the world that is actually supported by about 20 randomized controlled trials. So all over the world, people, researchers, universities have been studying this course because it's been around for 17 years now, being run in 22 countries. There's even been a couple of what they call meta-analyses. So this is like the gold standard of analyses where they look at all these different trials having been done and then look at the effects and see what's significant, what's not significant across that. There's one done in Sweden and there's one being done in Australia next year. So it's really a very robust course in terms of evidence. And that was something we looked for. I mean, every intervention we make at Lighthouse is evidence-based because we're counseling clinical psychologists. And this really fit with that mission as well. We didn't want something that wasn't tried and tested. Yeah. So that's part of what drew us to it, really. Yeah.
But also, I see that there are great benefits to those who actually do the first aid training course themselves. They found some really interesting side effects that were really positive.
Yeah, and that was something which they weren't expecting. They didn't target the mental health and well-being of the first aider. They didn't think, okay, this course will actually make you feel more mentally healthy and more emotionally healthy. But I suppose it's a little bit like when we give, we get, you know? And so what they have found in subsequent studies is that if you are a mental health first aider, go through the program, your own mental health actually improves. And the more you do it in your community, the more your mental health improves. So that was, yeah, a happy side effect. It's not what they were targeting. And they weren't even targeting stigma. That was something which there are, I mean, in Australia we have standalone programs that target stigma on the TV, on the radio, and this wasn't that. This was an education first aider training. But what they actually found, again, in subsequent studies, is that stigma is greatly reduced.
That's just brilliant.
Yeah, by the course. So,
and I think it's just, it makes sense, right? If you know what the symptoms are and you know what to look for, you're not just going to be looking for it in the people outside of you, but also inside of you as well. So you're going to be paying attention to what that looks like in you and being able to address it quickly before it gets worse.
And who are you hoping will take advantage of this? Because I know that you want to be pushing this in workplaces as well.
Yes.
And to have people trained up in HR and in other places within workplaces to have mental health first aiders there.
Yes, that's the largest group of people so far that have contacted us and are interested in us are the professional services firms. We have consultancy firms, we have law firms, bankers. These are very high stress environments. A lot of times where they might actually be struggling with a lot of issues, but they don't have the time or the know-how or, even the knowledge of what that looks like. And so we are actually going into these corporations and we're training them. And actually we have a silver, a gold, and a platinum or bronze, silver, gold status that you can get as a corporation that you get from Mental Health First Aid Australia, where if you know, depending on the percentage of the people that you have trained as mental health first aiders, you would get a silver or a gold or a bronze, a silver or a gold medal of some sort that says, you know, this is how mental health literacy, how high we are, our quotient is within our company.
And I believe this is going to be something that is targeted towards teens. Is that right?
Yes, so that's going to happen in 2018. So after this course that we have running now is adults helping adults. Okay. The next stage is to run the course that is designed specifically for adults working with youth. So adults helping kids. And then the next course, and this is the one, I mean, I'm excited about all of it, but this is the one which I feel most excited about, really, because I see it making a massive difference to the kids here in Dubai, all of the UAE, actually, is teens helping peers. So we have a training where we train teens, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, to be mental health first responders in their school and community, that younger children and their peers can come to in order to be connected with the right adult. So it's very based on peer support, friendship, and getting to the right adult who then gets to the right professional. So it's another layer. They're like this layer of first responders, early warning kids out there who are given this confidence. And I think to get these skills at such an early age has a big impact on their perspective mental health going forward through
it's
the challenges of adulthood.
For them. Yes, yeah. For sure. So we have the teens, we have the teens helping the teens, we have the adults helping the youth. We will be doing a lot of corporate mental health first aid trainings, but we are also doing ones for the community, which Briar will be leading in November. We are doing one for health professionals. We have a lot of, you know, dentists and physiotherapists and massage therapists, etc., who actually see a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety and depression walk through their doors, but they actually don't know how to respond to that. So a lot of the health professionals will have a separate training for them as well. So corporate, adult, health, and then at some point in the first quarter of next year, we'll have the adult doing the youth.
It's all very exciting. It's all very new for us here in the Middle East. First time coming to Dubai. This is from Lighthouse Arabia, the Mental Health First Aid Training Course. I want to thank Dr. Salaha Afridi, Clinical Psychologist and Managing Director at Lighthouse Arabia, and Briar Jacques, Counseling Psychologist and the Head of the Mental Health First Aid Program. Thank you so much. And we will have those details posted up on the Dubai Today vlog page. So people can go there, they can follow the links and join up. Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you
Sally.
So much, Sally.
We're looking forward to hearing from you more as the courses take place in the future. But it is, of course, Eye on Health today on Dubai Today.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.